Yeah, hi guys. You're welcome back to the Let's Talk Nigeria show with Nefe, and it's no other person but me. Yes, how are you guys doing today? Welcome to the month of September. If you're like me, I'm really praying that this September, brings big things. I don't know about you guys, but this year has been doing me bad boss. But I'm really hoping that for each and every one of us listening, that September would bring good things our way. So yeah, if you're listening, just now I'm sending all the love and all the light your way, and I'm hoping that September brings you nothing but joy. Yeah, in the last episode we talked about the coup that happened in Niger, and we talked about, I mean, there's another coup that just happened in Gabon, but that's not the talk for today. We'll talk about that in the next episode. But we talked about, a lot of things happening in Africa. And I remember saying that I was organizing a get together for Deltans in my city, just so we can come together, talk about, because I mean, on the 27th of August was Delta State's 32nd anniversary. So I put together this get together. We had young people come together. We talked about the history of our state. We talked about what we could do using our current profession to make the state better if given the opportunity. And it was a really nice time to have young professionals. We had data scientists, we had myself, graphic designer, we had software developers, we had healthcare professionals. We all just came together, we sat down, we did a lot, we had like a brainstorming session, talk about what we could do if given the opportunity to push the state forward. And it was really nice. I made notes, and I mean, one day if I have the audience of the governor, I'm going to tell the governor these things. But I mean, I'm looking forward to hosting more events like this where we have young Nigerians come together, brainstorm solutions, not just talk about problems, talk about, things that's going wrong, talk about how things can go right. And I'm actually planning one for October 1st, which is Independence Day, to see how Nigerians can come together and let's just profess solutions to problems happening back home. But yeah, that was a really good one. Just I'm sure with time I would do an episode where I talk about the individual solutions that were preferred on that meeting. But yeah, on today's episode I have an amazing friend here. It's my guy. I met him a couple of months ago, and it's funny how we just clicked. With even person that introduced us calling the fierce, everything they happened. We just clicked, and I mean, every time we sit down, we talk about history of Nigeria, we talk about what's happening currently. It's just nice talking to him because I like his perspective. So I brought him on the show today. So we're going to talk about our new ministers. In case you do not know, a couple of days ago, about 2 weeks ago, new ministers were sworn in. And anyways, let me not go into it here, but let me allow him to introduce himself. Over to you, Anselm. Please, can you just introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Nefe, for having me on your podcast.
Yes.
In the spirit of September, my birthday is 10 days away. I'm happy. I'm happy
Turn
in
up,
September.
turn up, turn up. Aslam will celebrate this day.
My name is Anselm Udum. I'm from Imo State, Igbo, of course. I'm an energy consultant for Accenture UK Limited. And that's a little bit about me. And thanks again, Nefe, for having me here.
Thank you, Anselm. I mean, at least now everybody will know that on this show, I am not a tribal. I brought Yoruba, I've brought Igbo, I brought Hausa, yes. I brought, I from my, I've never brought from my state. Look, I brought from my state. So we try to touch everybody. But yeah, Anselm, thank you for taking out your time this evening to just after work to come on this show. I appreciate it. So let's jump right into it. Our new
Hey.
ministerial list. What do you think about it?
Well, I personally feel the president could have done much better than he did. But
Okay.
again, these people and politics, when they do politics, they try to, kind of favor those who have stood by them in one way or the other. Loyalty to party, loyalty to the president, the journey to it. We understand these things, but at what cost? The cost of over 200 million people who is just sit down and watch you appoint people based on some kind of sentiments to. And then watch our future just wash down the drain again. And it's a pity that we nominate people or appoint people in political positions based on sentiments most of the time.
I like what you said. You said at what cost? Because truly, I took a look at the list, and I remember reading on Twitter, and the person was saying that if this president is really serious about change, why do we
Yeah.
have about five governors who have nothing to write home about being on this list? Why is, like you said, why is it all about sentiment? When are we going to come to a point where, as a country, people get things based off of merit? I think, if I'm not mistaken, there are about five past governors. Here's some wiki of Rivers State. We have Abubakar, I see Abubakar Bagudu of Kebbi State. About five of them. And I'm wondering, looking at their past records, in all sincerity, do you think these people deserve these positions?
Well, in terms of political or in terms of governance, I would say, yeah, the picture is perfect that, yeah, they have held very notable positions as governors, and then you can give them those positions because, of course, they have led the state. But in reality, what did they do as governors of their state? Was there any fundamental change? Did we see any kind of development initiatives that improved the lives of people, that improved the general finances of the state, that improved, you know, the healthcare sector of their state? Is it the education sector? We talk about the infrastructural development. We talk about human capital investment. Did we see those kind of growths in their state?
Yeah, but Wike was breaking buildings up and down. So, I mean, that would be useful in FCT. Don't you think so?
No, but Wike is the kind of people I call them the big mouth governors, you know. They just show themselves. And I have a friend in Port Harcourt who cracks a joke. Because I schooled in the port as well. He says, Wike built flyovers and there are still hold-ups, you know. There is still traffic despite the flyover. So you can see it's a very painful joke because you made flyovers to ease the life of people, but yet people are still going through the same things we are trying to do. So does it mean he didn't do those flyovers well? Were the contractors not supervised properly, or what happened, you know? Because what you do to make people's life better, and at the end of the day, it doesn't make their life better. So it means you've missed the point. So back to what I was saying, these governors are there. If you look at their portfolio as former governors, you can say, okay, appoint them as ministers to do this work. But what did they do as governors? They all didn't do well. Most of them didn't do well as governors. So that also tells you that they don't deserve where they are. But again, because Nigerian politics is a kind of sentimental politics most of the time, we always divide that against tribal religious lines and sentimental lines. This is why you have those kind of people back in office as ministers after spending 8 unsuccessful years as governors. They come back to be ministers. So it's unfortunate that we are at that space, but that is our current reality in Nigeria.
Yeah, and it's really for, like what you said earlier, I remember talking sometime on this show how we have governors or people in power who do certain projects just for their self-glory. So for example, was it a Boeing that built an airport? I think it was a Boeing.
Yeah,
millions of naira was gone into that airport. And then on the day of the launching, there were pictures of children eating rice from the ground. It just goes to show that how economically viable is this project you are doing? You want to do an airport in your state that cannot afford it. For one of the examples I always give is the Kano Kaduna railway line. Yeah. Millions of dollars were borrowed to build that railway line that has very little economic importance to the country. But anyways, let's leave that. You know, I read something on Twitter where somebody said that for a government that is very for a government that's the legitimacy is questioned, you know, there's a lot of cuts going on. People, I would have expected that our president would have put the best brains forward just to appease us, you know, put the best brains come into this position. Some people that have, I mean, for the lady, the minister of, is it, what's the position that she's always, she still has culture, she still has NYC issues. Already, there's already questions on the integrity of these people. We're seeing a lot of questionable characters in this ministry. So, in your opinion, do you think these people can give us the change? Just yes or no?
There is no change. You can't be expecting change when people who suffocate change, people who don't like to see growth, are leading you. These people don't want us to develop. They don't want us to grow. They don't want us to have a brighter future. They just want to be there, their cycle. So you talk about Hanatu, who is the current Minister of Culture and Creative Economy. Yeah, she might be good in everything, educated and everything. But the question now that keeps coming up is, you and I finished school in Nigeria. We couldn't get jobs after graduation because in the law, it was stated that we need an NYSC certificate.
Yeah.
Some of us waited for ASUU strikes. We passed the age of 24 in the university. Some we are lucky to finish at 22. But before they went for youth service, they were 24. By the time you finish service, so at the end of the day, by the time you're done with your youth service, maybe most people are approaching 27 for those who went to federal or state institutions. And at 27, you now start applying jobs and here banks tell you things like, you must be 26, you know, Shell will still say 26, the age bracket is 26. And coming to Europe, nobody puts age limitations to job applications because it is discriminatory. And back in our country, they are putting age embargo on people. And these strikes were caused by government's inefficiency to handle the educational system. And we are still paying for it. And then now we sit down here and watch someone without the same requirement become the Minister of Culture and Creative Economy. It's a slap on our face. It builds bad blood. It is painful to see that most hardworking Nigerian youths at one point in their lives, we are delayed to achieve so many things because of this.
Yeah.
And today, someone has been appointed. She might be perfect in everything, but because she does not fulfill one aspect of the law, then it is questionable. The president did not make a good decision. And if you talk about the Bagudu, Minister of Budget and National Planning, this continues to tell you how bad our leadership has been back in time in memorial. You know, we are talking about the time of Abacha, the time of Abiola, the time of Azikiwe and Awolowo, and this corruption has started from there, from the time of First Tshisekedi when he was a minister in, I think, in the First Republic or so. Yes. And this has kept on going on year upon year. We had the military take over, the same corruption from Agui Iranzi to the hands of Gowon to Murtala, Obasanjo, back to, you know, and then Babangida. So this is a long history of corruption that has led us to the deep ditch that we find ourselves in Nigeria today. This is leading so many talents flying out of the country, talents that should add value to our society. We are all running away. Why? Because we are seeking, we are talent to be rewarded. We are talent will be, we thrive. We are talent will succeed. And anywhere talent goes and meets a system that favors talent, talent flourishes. That is what people have failed to understand. And the likes of Bagudu, after the rumors about him helping, doing money laundering for, is it Abacha or so?
Yeah.
And then now I think he was a former governor, now he's a minister. With this kind of actions, this shows that these people will be reckless in what they do, because regardless of how they behave, they still turn out to be the governor, the minister, their sons come up and become the next senators. So there is
it's almost like that's the reward for doing for corruption. You come in as a governor or you steal more funds, they reward you with more positions, whether you qualified or not. You know, the more you're rewarded.
Our Senate and ministerial and our ministries have become retirement homes for these people. Politics is now a job. You know, it's more about self-serving situations in politics in Nigeria. People that have not done anything besides being in politics year on year for the past 16, 20 years, keep on going there. There is no
development. Just keep recycling them. I think one of the things that even annoy me the most is many of them are holding portfolios that they do not have the qualifications for. You know, they don't have the academic qualification. They don't have the technical know-how for this. So how do you expect them to make the change? You know, even the ones that I don't have, I mean, I was reading this morning about the Minister of Works. He's an engineer. So, I mean, I was happy when I saw the engineer, Minister of Works. You know, I was like, okay, great. An engineer should be able to do some great things because, I mean, he's in his field. He has his current certificate and all of that. And then he made a statement this morning that when they are done with their road projects, it will take you 4 hours from Lagos to Abuja. And to the layman, that's you want to clap because, oh, yes, Tinubu's government, 4 hours. But let's be logical. Do you know that Lagos to Abuja is about 717.5 kilometers, which means that for you to travel that distance for 4 hours, it means that you have to drive at 179 kilometers per hour.
Without stopping,
without braking, constantly. And that is if you are living at the tip of Lagos, just as you come out of here, as you are living in Lagos. So how does an engineer who knows mathematics, who knows that speed is distance over time, how does an engineer come up and come and tell me that it takes you 4 hours to drive from Lagos to Abuja? Why are they making so much empty promises?
That is the point I've been making here, Nifi, and it boils back to the recklessness of in governance these people have built over time. You know, we have the likes of Dave Umahi, who is the current Minister of Works, if I'm not mistaken, Engineer Dave Umahi.
Yeah, that's
we
what
have
I'm talking about.
Like, who people praise for all the infrastructural development in Ebonyi. And to be fair, he made a lot of good infrastructural development in Ebonyi. But at what cost again? You know, you are doing things that is not benefiting the lives of the people. You know, we need capital investment. People need to work. People need to work. And you come up with a lie that you want to create maybe, I don't know, you want to build new roads that will take you 4 hours from Lagos to Abuja. Are you building rail lines? If it's rail lines, we'll maybe. Say fine. Yeah.
It was roads. It was roads. And yeah. It's funny how people were, you know how Nigerians can be sometimes. We just... Yeah. Everybody started praising him on Twitter without actually thinking about it logically.
Without thinking, you have the police checkpoints. You have the police checkpoints.
See, that one alone is like 1 hour first.
On the journey, you have to enter in between states. You know, there is no one straight route from Lagos to Abuja.
Yeah, I say 178. So, well, anyways, but we're coming to the last thing I want us to talk about is how our system, there is no accountability. And I think one of the things that pissed me the most everything about Nigeria is the fact that there is no accountability, and that breeds impunity. People can do whatever they want to do and get away with it, knowing that the next government will come and just cover it. So, for example, I was reading that the new Minister of Aviation, Festus Keyamo, wants to suspend Air Nigeria or Nigerian Air, that the last minister, what's that his name again, that I don't want to remember. The former Minister of Aviation, Abubakar Sirika. Yes, Sirika, yeah. So now millions of naira went down into that project. A few days to the handover, they went to hire a plane from Ethiopia Airlines, painted it. One plane, you told us you are launching an airline. Millions of naira went down the drain. You went to hire one plane from Ethiopia. All of this was exposed. Nobody was held accountable. Nobody was arrested. Nobody said anything. And now the new Minister of Aviation is saying we want to suspend that project, which meaning that all the money that went into that project gone. Nobody's been held accountable. That person is just going to walk away. You know, they are announcing now that in the coming months they want to shut down Temelan Bridge for maintenance. Now, this is the Temelan Bridge. I know that in 2019, before the election 2019, it was closed for some weeks, for months. In 2021, just after the lockdown, the bridge was closed for about 6 months. That thing affected Lagosians' commercial activities, affected, it brought a lot of discomfort to people. Millions of naira was spent maintaining those roads on those two occasions in the last 4 years. And now the new minister is coming to tell us we want to shut down these roads again for maintenance. Have they gone to say, look, okay, the former minister shut down this place twice. Come and account how you spend the money, why we still have to do another maintenance 2 years after. I remember after the last maintenance, the last time I drove on that road the next day, and there were still rough edges on the road. I'm like, when I mean rough, like one like your car, look, look, look. I'm like, what maintenance did they do? You know, it's just so sad that there is little or no accountability. And this is what is breeding impunity. What's your take on that?
That is the whole point, Nefe. Okay, you talk of Festus Keyamo. Firstly, a lawyer who was in the Ministry of is it employment or so? I think he was a minister of state in the last administration under the same political party, APC. He was there. We didn't see any good work he did as a former minister. We just kept hearing so many audio stuff going on here.
Was
there
someone that invited the Senate one time to come and account for something which he never did? This person is being rewarded with another ministerial position.
With another ministerial position in a ministry that he probably knows nothing. Nobody is saying he must appoint people that have a knowledge about this whole stuff. But do you know why it is important for Nigerians to have people who are experts in those fields or those ministries to head those ministries? It's just one simple reason. We don't have a functional system. In the UK, you can bring somebody who is a medical doctor to manage the Ministry of energy, because energy has built up a system. When he comes to that ministry, they break it down for him. He understands what is happening in this ministry and then tries to put up a team that gives him advice on going forward, what he can bring, what other thing can he add to it, because they have built a system. But in a country that doesn't have a system, you're bringing a man who was a lawyer,
who has zero, who has bad track record. That's
now,
what I
to aviation, And he comes into aviation, forced an initiative that the former minister started, which was also an ODO one. But this is how they cover up crime. Now he has come in, said no more Nigerian Airways. He will go back there, settle with the other guy, whatever they will give him, his own cut, whatever it is. He will take whatever share he can get from the last deal. You know, that one did to waste money. And, you know, even when they designed the logo, I forgot how many million dollars they put into just designing the Nigerian Airways
logo. What for give me? For designer for them, for that money.
That's the thing. For even lesser amount of money, you can imagine. So we this is the kind of recklessness we keep talking about in government. You know, the kind of you talk about the maintenance of the Todman Land Bridge that what's his name? The former governor of Ebonyi wants to carry out again. This same Todman Land Bridge. Maintenance is good. We already have a very poor maintenance culture. But when you're doing maintenance for a particular road, you need to ask yourself, is it time for this bridge to be rebuilt? Is it time to add other bridges beside this? If you keep going on one bridge, and you can see the lies there, they keep going for that same bridge because it's like the one of the most, if not the most important bridge linking the island to the mainland in
Lagos,
which everybody use. So that's a way, you know, to keep on looting money from a very important stuff. And there's so much that goes on in that bridge that we don't even know about, you know. I think that's where they also have a toll gate or so.
No, toll gate is a Lekki.
It's a Lekki, okay, that's a different one. But whichever way, this is the kind of things that keep going on over time, and then you begin to wonder and ask yourself, what do these people really have plans for us? And
because for me, I'm very big on accountability. I'm very big on history. What's this person's track record? You don't bring somebody who has no track record of doing anything well to come and head. Now, I'll give you an instance. Some days ago in Kenya, I was discussing this with you in Kenya, you know, backup generators at the Nairobi airport stopped working. So it meant that the terminal was in darkness. Just the terminal, you know. Meaning that other flights will have an issue landing. Yeah. Now, the next day, you know how in Nigeria we have FAA, the body in charge of our aviation. Yeah, so in Kenya, it's KAA. The next day, the MD of it was sacked. The very next day. Now, well, it was sacked because the backup generators did not work. So there was no light on the runway, on the terminal rather. There was light on the runway, there was light on the control tower, but there was no light in the terminal. So people were in darkness. And the next day, because of that, the MD of KAA, which is the FAAN equivalent, was sacked.
Yeah.
But come to my country. Now, the thing is, when that happens, whoever is going to take over that position knows that this, if I want to keep my job, this cannot happen.
True.
But come to my country, there's no accountability. Somebody comes, rents a fake airline, rents a fake plane, shows it to the world, deceives us. Even when everybody is on the internet, it's everywhere, this person's lying to us, the person walks away freely. You know, a couple of weeks ago, an expose was released about Max Air, how their planes are unsafe, how one of their planes was a lot of water coming out of it, which was a risk, a hazard. Now, because of so much noise on the internet, they were suspended for like 2 weeks. And now they are back flying. Nobody came to tell us, we have done inspection. These people are not fit to fly. Nothing. People's lives are just being played with. You know, and that's what pisses me off the most every time I think about how much there is no accountability and how this breeds a lot of impunity. Somebody will just come and tell you that snake swallowed money and everybody's supposed to just leave free and just say, okay.
So many stories in Nigeria that makes the heart bleed. You know, talking about this the KAA story.
Yeah.
Now, sacking the head of the airport authority there in Kenya only brings up one topic into the future. The next person knows that there is a precedence set going forward that you have targets, you must meet certain things. That particular scenario will never happen again. Maybe a new case will come up, but that issue of the lie goes off, maybe the national grid has issues, and then the airport lie doesn't function, will not repeat itself because the next person will be very conscious of that and other safety measures will be put in place in the airport going forward. And the same goes to the UK. Was it not recently we heard that there's a backlog of over 2,000 flights, you know, those coming in from the summer holidays, coming back to the UK, can't get in. Those who want to see join on the holidays can't fly out of the UK. Why? Because there was this network issue they had with the control tower. I don't know much into the details, but whatever it was, the head of the airport there was saying they have not experienced that kind of situation before. But luckily, the engineers were able to fix it. But even at that, there is still backlogs because of displaced flights and the flight crews all over the world. You know, they need to reorganize themselves to be able to be in the right places they are supposed to be because of that disruption. But now they are calling for his sack in the UK, and they are asking him to step down because that mistake should have not happened in the first place in an airport like Heathrow. That was something that was solved within hours. I don't think it lasted more than 5 hours. They solved that situation. You know, it did not stop other flights from flying. They still handled the control tower manually, but because they are more of an automated, their control tower is more of an automated system, and it's still the risks flying manually these days, you know. But they still are calling for his head. That is to tell the level of accountability some other nations are building that we are not building Nigeria. And it boils down to us as youths. We see these kind of things happen over time. You know, people being reckless, our government not doing what they are supposed to do. It is now up to us to live responsibly. I was discussing with one other of, you know him, Martin. I was discussing with him the other day, and I'm like, in Nigeria, I stopped urinating on the street a couple of years before I even came to the UK. I'm like, okay, fine, I need to program my head not to ease myself on the street. And I'll hold it. And I learned that you could enter a bank and go and ease yourself in the toilet. You know, there are banks at least all
But
over.
even for us, and then the street pass, so now what they do for street, and then the street pass.
No. How many
Yeah.
times have you done it in the UK? You know, that's the question we ask ourselves. We come to these places and respect the laws. Our ministers and governors and who comes here and still use the tube. They still use the London buses. They go to the US, they use those transport systems and they enjoy the efficiency. But why can't we get it right? Are we more populated than the US? No,
Not
we
really.
are not. So
Anyways,
we
because
begin
of
to
time,
wonder.
because of time, I have to end it here. But Aslam, I mean, one of the big take homes for everything that you said. I mean, it's very easy to criticize these people. It's very easy to say, oh, these people are not this. But I like how you ended it by saying it starts with us. You know, you just give an example of yourself, how you started making the right decision. So I'm just saying this to everybody listening. As much as we wanna, you know, we're talking about accountability, we want to talk about these leaders, these ministers. We, how accountable are we? You know, in our workplaces, are we inflating figures? How accountable are we? What we want to see from these people? Let's start doing it in our own lives. That's the only way we can point a finger at these people. So yeah, thank you so much for your time, Anselm.
Thank
You know,
you for
all we
having
can
me.
do right now is wish the ministers well. Hope that somehow, as much as we have very little faith in them, but somehow they deliver. You know, somehow
Yeah.
somehow they deliver, man. And I'm really hoping for a time where we have a country where impunity is at the minimum, where accountability is on the high. Yeah, so yeah, thank you once again. For your birthday, we have to turn up. We have to turn
one shoe.
up. No wahala. Thank you so much, and thank you everybody for listening. God bless you, and God bless the Federal Republic of Nigeria.